Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Grenergy 2019 full year results presentation. I will now hand over the call to the speaker. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thank you, Denise. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for attending our 2019 full year presentation, which is indeed the first online presentation we make after we went public in Mercado Continuo last December. My name is David Ruiz. I am the CEO and founder of Grenergy, and sitting next to me this morning is Daniel Lozano, our head of IR. The presentation is available for download both in our website and in the CNMV's site, where it was filed this morning along with the consolidated accounts for 2019. We will first review the main highlights of the year, then we will focus on the financials, then pipeline and operations, and finally, we would like to share with you some of the company's commitments for 2020, which we believe are very relevant. We will try not to take more than 40, 45 minutes of your time, and after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. Starting on the presentation, there is a disclaimer on page number two, which is quite important that you are all familiar with it and which actually governs this presentation. Going to the highlights on page number three of the presentations, going to the key highlights of 2019. As you all know, last year has been a very important one for us, and I would say extremely busy year for our company. Many good things happened, and we have made a very remarkable progress in many of our financials and the markets where we operate. Going first to the market, to the numbers, we have achieved revenues of 84.5 million euros. This is 83% up from the year before and is nearly two times more than what we achieved in 2018 and according to our expectations. In non-GAAP terms, we have surpassed the 100 million euros threshold in 2019, which is a very important goal for us and an important indication of the size of company we are achieving. Regarding to EBITDA, we have reached 18.5 million euro. This is in line with our expectations, and we have achieved 30 million in non-GAAP terms. Daniel will give you more details on this point. As we expected, we have no energy sales in the period. Once we start connecting plants this year, quarter after quarter, right, the EBITDA from energy sales will start going up, and it will become quite relevant in the future. Also the margin coming from our services division, coming from operation maintenance and asset management. The more plants we connect, the higher the EBITDA from this division also will grow exponentially in the coming quarters. Regarding our net profit, it has reached 11.4 million euro for the period. This is up 20% from last year. Just to give you some perspective, it is more than 300% more than the profit we made two years ago in 2017. Our leverage has increased as planned due to our increase in CapEx for the new plant that we are building. We have invested so far 62 million euro in 2019, and we are currently at 2.2 times net debt EBITDA in the ratio, and still with a very wide capacity to cope with the coming investment in 2020. Going to some of reviewing our operational achievements, we are keeping a good track in the development and construction of the agreed solar PV plants for sale, what we call build to sell. As you know, we aim to keep in our balance a very important share of the assets we develop, but we have been rotating assets very successfully, We will keep doing so in the future. We have delivered 5 solar PV plants in Chile during 2019. This is more than 50 megawatts connected. And we already have more than 100 million euro of agreed sales in our business to sell division for the next 2 years, 2020-2021 in Chile. We will give more information about this later. We have made a considerable progress in our global pipeline. Our total pipeline under development now exceeds 4.5 gigawatts in 6 countries. You have to consider that so far we are only developing greenfield in Spain, Chile, Peru, and Colombia, and these 4 markets. And we have increased our pipeline in 2 gigawatts compared to the picture 12 months ago. This is 130% increase. Okay. And we have increased 400 megawatts compared to the last update we made to the pipeline 3 months ago. We are really doing a very remarkable progress in developing new plants and making sure they get developed in the right time, the right place, and especially leaded by the right development team. We are advancing quite well in the construction of our own project, what we call build-to-own division, and also in our backlog. We are pushing things ahead as fast as we can, and 2019 has been a very important year. We currently have 234 megawatts under construction. That includes our first wind projects, the wind projects we're building in Peru and Argentina, and our first PV project above 100 megawatts that we are now building in Atacama in Chile. We also have several distribution, is what we call PMGDs assets in Chile, which is a very profitable segment where we have been very, very active, as you know. More importantly, we have a backlog above 450 megawatts. This is when the definitions are in the annexes in the presentation, but we basically have no doubt that we are going to start construction very soon of this pipeline in the coming months. Going to some very important goals and milestones we have achieved during the period. Well, as you all know, we achieved our listing from MAP to the Mercado Continuo on December 16th. Prior to that, we managed to increase our fee float up to 32%. Okay. We have launched the first green bond program in the MARF's history in Spain. It's a program of 50 million euro and with a first issuance of 22 million. We have also, and we want to point out this is very important, we were very successful in the past achieving PPAs through auctions in Latin America. But in Spain, we have signed our first PPA, private PPA, with the oil and gas Portuguese company Galp for a total of 200 megawatts and a 12-year period starting in the second half of 2021. This is supporting our project Escuderos, which is currently in our backlog. Well, we had to pick these achievements for the presentation, but there are many more important milestones we have achieved during the year. In corporate governance, we have increased the size of the board with a new independent director. We now have a parity of independent members, and we on female directors already represent one third of the total. There's been a strong recruitment of talent in basically all areas of the companies. And the total headcount is now more than 150 employees with very significant incorporations in all our areas, in development, in EPC, and corporate services division. Just to give you some perspective, we were a company of just 30 employees back in 2015 when we went public to the MAP, so we have multiplied by 5 the size of our headcount. We have improved our online position with a new corporate website with a very good orientation to investors. We have, and we will talk later about this more, we have now launched a full roadmap improving our ESG and compliance policies, and we have recruited EY as a strategic consultant because we believe that ESG has to be definitely at the core of our activities. Okay, and these are the highlights. I'm going to leave you now with Daniel Lozano with the numbers and the financials, and then I'll be back with our pipeline and strategy. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Hello to you all. Let's move into the numbers. So if you can look at the presentation at the slide 6, we can see that the total revenue grew by 83% during 2019. Development and Construction Division increased its sales volume, driven by the bid on sale to plan to international investors. The total amount increased by 92%. The Energy Division, as David mentioned, did not have any sales during the period. However, as soon as we connect Kosten Duna Wambot wind projects and Kijawa solar PV projects, there will be energy sale and this amount will grow exponentially. Service Division as well increased its income by 32% year-on-year, mainly because of the connection and sale of new plants in Chile that we will keep operational maintenance and asset management services. Let's go at the next slide, which is number 7. EBITDA for the period reached 18.5 million euros, that is in line with the full year 18 figure. As we explained before, mainly support by the Development and Construction Division, as already explained. Just for clarification regarding development and construction margins, with the margin, we have a margin on average around 30% between 2018 and 2019. It is important to make an average because in reality, when we sell a solar PV plant, we have different margin depend on the invoice. The initial SPV sale has a very high margin, and then the rest, the EPC milestone invoiced after the works are done, has margin lowered of around 10 to 15%. So because of that, the average EBITDA margin for 2018 period is around 30% on average. So regarding non-GAAP figures, also important to remark, EBITDA will reach 30.1 million euros, 63% increase year on year. The main difference comes from projects under construction for build to sell, that we do not move into sale and EBITDA till the projects are connected. But of course, we have done some execution, and also we have already collected it from our clients as an advance payment. Furthermore, there are some development and construction margin for our solar PV project Kijawa that are eliminated when consolidation process. Then, if you can look at slide 8, well, that is the way we have invest, Grenergy invested 63 million euros in solar PV and wind project. As you can see, Kosten project, 21 million euros, Duna Wambos, 13.6 million euros, and Kijawa project, that the financial close was in Q4. We have been working on it since last year, and we have invested 25 million euros. Then development capex and other capex investment are just around 5% of the total. Moving to slide 9, you can see how our cash balance position at group level evolved during 2019. From a starting cash balance position of 13 million euros, then we have a positive fund from operation, positive balance of working capital of around 23 million euros. As explained, we invested 63 million euros in growth capex, and that growth capex has been financed mostly by project debt, 36 million euros, and the corporate green bond that we launched in October 2019, arriving to the final balance position of 29 million euros. Finally, let's look at slide number 10. Our overall leverage grew as expected to 2.2 times net debt EBITDA due to the already explained company investment in projects that we want to keep for our portfolio. So still there is an ample capacity for financing new projects and be able, of course, to achieve our IPP targets. Now I'm going to hand you back again to David. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Okay, so I now move to slide number 12, page number 12, which is a pipeline. This is a very important slide, as you know, since it shows where we are now, but also where we are planning to be in a couple of years. We will give a lot more information about our plans for 2021, 2022, and in very, very soon, maybe in our next update, we will start giving you some information about our plans for 2023, especially as in our Villanova division. We currently have 4.5 gigawatts, 4,500 megawatts under development in total, as you can see in this slide. And very importantly, we have 700 megawatts if you put together what we have under construction and backlog. So that gives you an idea of the current size of the company. These 700 megawatts, they will get built and connected in the next 4 or 5 quarters and will definitely transform the company size and the company profile, and especially the EBITDA as, profile, as we explained before. In the annexes of the accounts, we always give very clear information about the definitions of each stage. We also have internally a category that we don't make public, which is called identified opportunities, which are potential projects that we are working hard on them, but still internally we have not made the decision to go ahead to invest in development capex, but we can anticipate that we are working very hard on new wind projects in all the four countries where we are developing greenfield. Also some selective PV projects, particularly in countries like Spain. Moving to page number 13, here we make a differentiation between the PV and wind. If you look at the PV first, we can see important entries in Chile. So far we have incorporated 27 new PMGD projects very recently. In this segment we have been particularly successful in the past few years. And we currently have more than 2.2 gigawatts of projects in this country. I believe we have one of the most attractive pipelines in this market. It's very important, as we already pointed out, Kijawa project. This is on track and is expected for Q3 2020 this year to become fully connected with more than 103 megawatts. This project is, we will give more information later, is peculiar because already the line and the substation is already energized, it's already interconnected, so we expect a very smooth commissioning of the plant in 2 quarters from now. There is also a second phase of some extra 105 megawatts coming up for this project. This is already ready to build, and we are in our backlog, and we also expect a closing of this phase during the year. If we go to wind, our portfolio is much smaller. It's 600 megawatts. There are only 60 megawatts under construction, but those are the first wind projects that we are connecting in Argentina and in Peru in the history of the company. As some of you know, we were born a pure PV player 13 years ago already. We entered wind 5 years ago. And many people is asking us why we have done that, and if I don't know, PV seems a lot easier, but we strongly believe in wind. We believe the wind is the perfect match for PV. We see a great advantage being a multi-energy player comprising wind and solar, and we believe that there are great locations for onshore wind still, even in countries like Spain. CapEx is also going down, the efficiency is going up even more rapidly than PV, and especially wind projects with a compatible profile with PV are sometimes, and we are witnessing this in countries like Chile, the key to approach baseload 24 hours PPA agreements that many off-takers are already demanding us. These off-takers energy during 24 hours, and we can definitely not provide this just with solar, and we need to put together solar, wind, and in the near future, we will also put storage in the equation, and we believe this is the way forward in the future. We are very happy and excited about our new wind developments in Chile that we started this year. In particular, two large projects, Cosmos project in the north, 300 megawatts, and Alwan project in the south. They are both projects that we were working very long time before, and they both have very compatible profiles with solar. In both projects, we have secured the grid, and we are currently measuring already the resource. Moving to page 14, as we have been doing in the last presentations, we give complete information on all our under construction project backlog, and now we are including also the list of advanced development projects. Right? If you look at under construction, we currently have the three wind projects we have mentioned, and we have also Kijawa project, and we have several smaller projects, PMGD projects in Chile. Those are projects that will all get connected during the year. If you look at the backlog, we have currently six projects where construction would start before the end of the year, in the next quarters, particularly in quarter two, quarter three. And in some cases, we have even ordered trafos and inverters to shorten the chronograms. And we are expecting connection of most of this backlog project at the end of 2020 or during the first half of 2021. Going to page 15, this is a list showing our advanced development projects We are pretty demanding. I mean, if a project is on this list, we really see no concerns that the project will reach the ready-to-build status. You can see here 7 projects, and particularly I want to stress and put some emphasis on the 4 projects of Spain, which will be moving to backlog soon and will get connected in 2021-2022. This is 66 megawatts more compared to the previous report. And if we have a close look at our Spanish plants, Belinchón, Tabernas, José Cabrera, Nayora, all together we are talking about 600 megawatts of PV plants. In all cases, we are in advanced negotiations with off-takers. We will be announcing PPA agreements very soon, and hopefully they will be moving to backlog in the next update. Moving to the next slide. Well, here we show the targets for our build to own division. As we have explained, 2020 is on the right track. The parks are either under construction or Escuderos Park will enter into construction phase in Q2. This is our expectation. We are expecting financial close in early May. We explain, we need more information about these 4 parks in the next slide. If you look at our target for 2021 for our build-to-own division, we would be adding 400 megawatts of PV plants between Spain and LATAM. This is our target. This is the minimum we expect to achieve. And this is, as we showed before, this is coming already mainly from our backlog list, but also from the advanced development parks that we're showing you. Our target for 2022 will come mainly from the advanced development parks, with Spain representing already a big share, but also from some early stage parks that we are developing. In some markets like Chile, we moved the parks from early stage to backlog much faster than in countries that like Spain that we need maybe sometimes 2 and 3 years for development. We are doing a big effort to increase our targets for 2022, and we hope we can increase our guidance in the next quarter presentation and point to a higher figure for 2022 and give you already an idea on where we expect to be in 2023. Moving to the next slide, this is the bill and own parks. Most of them, except for Escuderos, are currently under construction. Well, our park in Argentina is basically mechanical completion, was finished a couple of weeks ago, and we are in the commissioning phase, and we expect this park to be fully commissioned in the next few weeks. Our 2 wind parks in Peru, everything is on track, and we are expecting the interconnection at the end of Q2, and we expect to be the COD, the commercial operation date. Everything will be ready in early Q3. This is our expectation, and everything is on track. We started construction of Quillagua Solar PV project, as we have explained. This is the largest project we have accomplished so far. It's in the north of Chile, you know, the best radiation maybe in the world. We are using bifacial modules also for the first time in a large plant, and we hope we expect to achieve 3,000 equivalent hours the yield for this part. Since the interconnection is completely concluded and the substation is energized, we expect a very smooth commissioning of this plant in Q3. And Escuderos, well, the PPA is signed, as we have explained. Everything is ready. We will start construction of this park in Q2, and we expect to conclude the park at the end of the year, of 2020. Going to next slide, slide number 18. Well, we have already explained, we, as you know, we We are keeping more and more parks in our balance sheet through our business dual division, but we also have a very active build-to-sell division. We have been rotating assets very successfully, and we will keep doing that in the future. It really helps us a lot to grow faster. It really proves that our parks are competitive in the market, and it helps us to diversify the projects that we keep in different technologies and different markets. We don't want to have all eggs in the same basket in one particular market, in one particular technology. And we will keep rotating assets. Our profile as IPP will grow exponentially, but it doesn't mean that we will not do more rotations in the future. As we explained you before, we in Chile in the last few years we have sold more than 300 megawatts. It's around 370 megawatts. It's more than $300 million. We have already connected and delivered 28 plants. In Chile, we are so far the company that has built and connect more PV plants in this market, and we have still 10 plants pending for 2020 and 2021 for more than 100 million euros. Yeah, we are working also on several other build-to-sell deals that we will announce in the coming quarters. Moving to the next section, is what we call company commitment. As I was stating at the beginning of the presentation, we wanted to share with you some very relevant commitments that we have as a company for 2020. And we're starting first with ESG strategy, and we'd like to point out that in 2019, Greenergy faced a structural transformation, and we have included ESG criteria as our core, as one of the key factors in project assessment, and this is definitely becoming an integral part of the company and has full support from top management and the board. And we believe that the impact of our activities must reach farther beyond the economic and financial perspective. We always look to make the project as profitable as possible from an economic perspective, but I believe it's very clear these days that it's necessary to analyze the impact of other stakeholders and environment as well. A project that is only profitable from an economic point of view probably will not be a target for us if we do not have the chance to offer anything else to other stakeholders, like local communities. This is our belief, and I'm very sure that we share this belief with many more of the stakeholders we work with co-investors, with lenders, and also with shareholders. Companies that do not follow ESG criteria probably will not have a promising future, or at least will struggle to grow in the near future. And we are very sure that the perspective of investors and clients is changing very quickly on this matter. We have a roadmap for ESG. In 2019, we were starting up. We also, the launch of the first issuance of green bonds was a very important milestone, and we faced and we accomplished very important organizational changes to face the ESG challenges. 2020 will be a key year, a very important year. We have also an alliance with EY that they're helping with the ESG roadmap we have ahead. And we will issue our first ESG annual report referring to our 2019 activities, and we will start to do so every year. And also we just achieved the board approval for the ESG policy. 2021 will be the consolidation of our policy, ESG policy, and an ESG rating will be pursued and we expect that from there on, we'll be at the forefront of ESG in the investor community. Moving to the next slide, and concerning our commitment with capital markets, as we already spoke, and 2019 was a great year for the company. We moved from MAP to the main market in December, and admission was achieved on the 16th of December. We were the only new company in the Mercado Continuum in Spain in 2019, and we now do have a 32% free float, and that is a big change compared to the 18-19% we had before all this process, right? And this has a reflection on liquidity that on average is close to 1 million euros per day. And this is definitely one of our main targets. We are new on the market. We are working very hard. We have been roughly 60 days in the market. We are learning. We are seeking more analyst coverage. But definitely increasing our liquidity is one of the top targets we do have. We are also trying to give the best and the most fluent and transparent information to investors. And moving to the last slide, commitment to mitigate risk. As you know, in this business, everything is about risk mitigation. We spend hours and hours at the executive level and on the board on this. And we really would like to point these three particular risks. There are obviously many more. One is the energy price. It's extremely difficult to predict energy prices right now in the market, particularly for solar. And well, we follow a very detailed strategy, case by case, to achieve the best hedge for each project. Sometimes the best PPA is for 70% of the production, and in other markets we believe more in merchant, and the right combination between PPAs and merchant is the key point to the future, and one of the main decisions that we need to take. Concerning the market risk, well, we are currently in six different markets, as you know. We are mainly in Spain and in Latin America, Chile, Peru, Colombia, and we have two projects, one in Argentina, one in Mexico. We are looking at new opportunities. Our policy, we really like to become a relevant player in every market we move to. So this is a very important decision for us. We are definitely spending a lot of time analyzing and looking at new markets, and we believe that we will announce new markets in the next few quarters. And finally, regarding technology risk, we have explained before why we believe WID is very important, and why we believe that being an integral player, a multi-energy player, is the key to the future. And we also believe in storage. Storage is coming. Everybody is hearing more and more about this. It's definitely the next big thing. Prices are going down quite fast, maybe not as fast as solar panels. Still, storage is not competitive for mass deployment, but we are pretty sure that we are getting there sooner or later. And we are developing a first battery project. It will be a pilot project in Chile, close to Santiago. We will give more details about this project in the next few months. And well, that's all from our side concerning the presentation. Thanks very much for your attention, and we can move to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. The first question comes from George Guimarães from JB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. First of all, congratulations on your first presentation as a continuous market company. Moreover, delivering good news on the pipeline front, in my opinion. I have three questions, if I may. Firstly, is it possible to provide your view on the outlook for the pricing in the build-to-sell project, namely regarding the margins per megawatt that the company expects to achieve? Second, what is your view about the financing trends, namely in the Spanish project? I don't know if it's possible to give us an idea where the project finance would be closed. And finally, on the Argentinian project, what is the possible impact of the inflation and devaluation of the Argentinian peso on this project? Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, for the three questions. Okay, for the first question concerning the margins, as I believe, as Daniel explained earlier on, we on average for our build to sell division during years 2018 and 2019, we have achieved a 30% margin. That includes the margins we generate from our development and the margins we generate from the construction of the parks. This is a very good margin, and well, we would be more than happy with a lower margin in the future, but we see no reason at this point that would reduce these margins in the coming years. At least in particular for this segment of PNGD projects that we are very active rotating in Chile. Concerning the Spanish project, the first Spanish project, the Escuderos project of 200 megawatts, we are now reaching the ready-to-build status. We are nearly there. The PPA has been closed, as we announced back in November. And we have already mandated the bank for the senior lender. We still are not disclosing the bank. We can anticipate that it will be a German bank, and they are taking. We have one single lender for the senior tranche, and we are also going to close a small mezzanine tranche, also with an European lender. We are expecting the financial close, well, hopefully in end of April, latest in early May. And concerning Argentina, well, it's not an easy market to deal with right now. That's very clear. But well, this is this project, the Costen project, and many other of our peers, many companies like Scatec, Neoen, already participated in this auction. It was the first auction with the Macri administration, and all the off-taker agreement. We have a very large package of guarantees with the World Bank, and. We and all the energy sales are done in US dollars. So basically we have no real impact like we do have in every other market. Everything is dollarized in dollar terms. So we have really no real impact in the Argentinian peso on this part. Does it answer your question?
Just a very small add to the first one. You described the EBITDA margins, and in terms of margin per megawatt, is it still in the $0.1-$0.2 hundred thousand per megawatt as a very general rule?
That's well. That really depends on every market and every situation. That's I would say, considering the capex per megawatt in a PV is approaching €500,000. I would say that 20% is for development. 20% extra, 100, it's already a very high percentage. But it depends on supply and demand on every market. Normally, renewable assets are in very high demand in all the markets that we are now. In Spain, we are not doing that, but if we wanted to sell some of our portfolio, we could get between 150 and 200 megawatts. Dollars per megawatt. In Chile, with the PMGDs, this figure could even be higher. So when we rotate the assets, we always make a very competitive process, and obviously we always try to maximize the return we get in all our build-to-sell deals.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Gonzalo Sanchez Borbona from CaixaBank BPI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three, if I may. The first one is a clarification on your accounts. You booked an €8 million badwill related with Kijawa 2, if I'm not mistaken. Could you provide some more details on that and what is that related to? Then second one on the balance on slide 18 on the balance guidance on revenues. I understand that you don't provide any sort of guidance for consolidated numbers or targets, but could you provide give us some visibility on what kind of revenues do you expect to secure over the next 6 to 9 months, or what kind of any sort of visibility on price that you have close to being secured? And if I understand, a clarification on this also, if I understand you are focusing on Chile, but are you looking at other countries for balance projects, or will most of them come from Chile? And then the third one on the new markets that you expect to open in 2020, I just wanted to understand if you are referring to markets that are already in your early stage numbers, like Colombia or Mexico, or if you are talking about new markets that outside of this. So I just wanted to understand whether you are referring to really advance on projects that are in these markets already there, or if you are referring to new countries. And that's it on my side. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Gonzalo. I will start with the first question concerning the €8 million of badwill that is getting reflected in our accounts. Just to give you some perspective, this is Kijawa project. The greatest advantage of Kijawa project is that this is the history of this project. It was originally a wind development, which was made by a company from Belgium. Like, they started this development 6-7 years ago with a very different perspective. At this time, the prices of energy were three figures. For some reason, they built the substation, they energized the substation, they built the line, even the trafo. So all the infrastructure, it was already there. It was a very long negotiation of more than 2 years. And the greatest advantage of this park is that it's a plug-and-play a project that we could build in very quickly. It was in the best radiation area of Chile. Finally, we purchased this project in November, back in November 2019. It had a development and installations which with a net value was significantly lower than the market value and than the price that we were paying for the operation. And according to IFRS rules, there is a consolidation difference due to the difference between the market value of the development and installation acquired and their book value. And we also look for an independent expert to support this statement. The and in total it was 8.8 million euro. So this is about Kiyawa. About the second question, it was about well, build to sell. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we don't give Gonzalo Solid a guidance on build to sell, but we, as we have explained, we have already signed operations that will generate 100 million euro in sales for this division for the next 2 years in Chile. Yeah. Are we working in many other projects? The answer is yes, of course. We are working in several other rotations. Our minimum target per year is to rotate, I would say, between 100 and 150 megawatts. And we are working in build-to-sell deals, not only in Chile, that well, one of the great news of 2019 is that we are we managed to develop and incorporate several more PMGD projects. These projects are very liquid in the market, and we could potentially rotate part of these projects. We are also working very hard in Colombia now. The market is getting pretty interesting now, and a possible strategy for us would be keeping part of the portfolio for ourselves, and also we will possibly rotate part of the projects to third parties. And many of the investors that we have previously worked with in Chile, they are requesting us projects in country like in Colombia. In Peru this will happen too, but it will take maybe longer. But we're expecting a boom in the Peruvian market at the end of 2021, 2022. In Spain, so far, everything that we are developing, we are planning to keep for ourselves. But, well, if you look at the pipeline we have in Spain in advanced development, you can see that this is above our expectations. We believe that we will keep everything for ourselves, but we could also rotate. So far, we've been rotating 100% of the projects, of the capital, but we could also potentially just sell a minority interest in part of our projects. This is what some of our peers and even large utilities do, and there is a great interest from many funds in minority interest in solar parks. And regarding new markets, your third question, we're talking about new markets. We were not talking about new projects in the markets that we already operate. And we are very happy to be in an industry that is basically booming everywhere in the world. We are still a medium-sized, small company moving to a mid-sized company. So we don't want to get in too many countries too quickly. We want to make very, very sure about our next move. We are looking at the market in Italy, because many of us think and believe that the situation is very similar to the situation in how the situation was in Spain 2-3 years ago. There is a great and large interest in large development, and there is already a PPA market being developed, and it could be a very interesting market. The UK, even considering the low radiation there, but energy prices are much higher, there's a very active PPA market, and there are also some tailwinds that and we believe would be a very interesting market. So we're looking more at EMEA markets right now, but every single month we receive an opportunity in Africa, in Southeast Asia, we believe we're good in Latin America. We have already a specific way there, so we're looking at other regions.
Very good.
I don't know, Gonzalo. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Let me remind you again, if you have any comments or questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to enter a queue. The next question comes from Daniel Rodriguez from Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Just a couple of questions on the pipeline. I was looking at the presentation you produced in December and the new one produced today, and I see that there has been some delays in the Spanish projects, I mean, between one quarter and three quarters of the commercial operation date. Just to understand what is the rationale behind this delay, no? And also, I would like to see what is the situation of the PPA market in Spain, especially considering that power prices are relatively low. I don't know if this could have an impact on the negotiations you could have with off-takers, and this could be the reason for the delay of these projects. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Daniel. Let me understand your second question about the PPAs in Spain. Could you please give me more information about the PPAs in Spain?
Yes, I just want to understand what is the landscape, the competitive landscape for PPAs. I mean, the price levels you are negotiating, if whatever information you can provide, considering that power prices are relatively low over the last few quarters, and I don't know if this could have an impact in the potential negotiation you could have with off-takers. I mean, if you are going to negotiate with an off-taker, power prices in the region of 40s, while market is below these levels, I don't know if this could be an obstacle.
Okay, very clear now. Okay, concerning our pipeline in Spain, well, we have six projects so far. It is true that the landscape now, some of the administrations, and particularly Red Eléctrica, are not responding to everything as fast as we would like, and this is in some cases causing some delays in the obtention of the ready to build status. Okay. Also in some cases, and there are several promoters in the same node, and we need to share an interconnection infrastructure. It means that you have to agree on several terms. In a project like Belinchón in Escuderos, we were only three, but in another node like Belinchón, there are large utilities, you have a small promoter, there is a lot of M&A activity, and sometimes it's difficult to reach a consensus on everything, and these sometimes delays the expectations on the ready to build. But now we are, concerning the five projects we have in Spain, we are really on track, as we explained. Escuderos is 1 year ahead of the rest, but in our flagship project, I would say, in Almería, we have secured the land completely, and we have already signed the agreement with the rest of promoters, and everything is on track. We have Belinchón project, and which is in Albacete, and we have José Cabrera in 50 megawatts in Guadalajara. Those projects are going much faster. We already spoke with the administration in Castilla-La Mancha, the highest level, and they are now, there's now some staff supporting the development, and they are very, very supportive. Some autonomías did this before, like Aragon or Extremadura, and we stress out the importance of doing the same to the Castilla-La Mancha government, and finally they're doing it. Maybe our project Ayora, which is in Comunidad Valenciana, which traditionally has been slower, particularly in the environmental permitting, but I think things are moving faster now. But maybe this project is slightly behind the other two, the rest. Concerning your question, which is a very relevant question about the PPAs in Spain and the prices. Well, we are talking about PPAs. In our case, we are trying to grab and secure projects at least for 10 years. In our case, in the case with GALP, it's been 12 years, and we are trying to achieve 12 years. And the price differs a lot whether PPA is for 10 years or whether it's for 12 years, whether it starts in Q2 21 or whether it starts at the end of 22. Prices are going down, definitely. This is a fact. The capex price for solar also goes down. So that's the big thing. That okay, what price you secure? What is your strategy? What is your exposure? And in our case, we are pretty comfortable with exposure of 25% to merchant in Spain, 25%, 30%, and the rest we rather prefer to secure through our PPA. And we have been quite successful. As we have explained, we have announced the first one for Escuderos, but we will announce several other PPAs to secure all the rest of our advanced development projects in Spain. And once we achieve that, they will be moved to backlog. The prices in Spain, obviously we cannot disclose at what price we have closed one particular, but I would say that in 12 years, we are now talking about mid-30s, and they will go down to low-30s very, very soon. If you close a PPA for the next 6-7 years, yes, you can get a price above 40, but in our opinion, it doesn't really give you an extra value on the projects. There is also a futures market for already with some liquidity for 7 years. So we don't really see a big advantage signing PPAs for shorter than 10 years. I'm not sure if I'm replying your question, Daniel.
No, many thanks. This is very useful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Dear speaker, back to you for the conclusion remarks. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for your time, and that's all from our side concerning the presentation, and we hopefully will have a new call very soon for our Q1 results. Thank you very much.